o'clock hour of Will the Attouche begins now. We heard a little bit from Goody earlier about him admitting that he's not the most patient person when it comes to specialists. I did ask him how they ended up where they are. Here is that exchange about the kicking situation from yesterday's session with Goody.
It is a risk, right? I mean, this is a guy you don't really know much about. So what, like, I would think in your position, the one thing you don't want to do is then have this not work out, and then you're trying other guys out all the time. Like, where do you go from here when you are where you are?
That's part of it. And I mean, I think that's just, it's not just here. It's in every, you know, pretty much every building in the league. I mean, guys got to produce. If they don't produce, it's going to be short, you know, it's going to be a short leash. And so, for me, it's just it's really no different than it ever has been. You know, I mean, we're gonna always kind of, you know, we're working all year to kind of see if there's opportunities to make us better, and if there is, and we can, we're gonna try to do that. If, you know, we're really excited to get Braden in here to see what he can do, and he's certainly got a lot of talent, and we're excited about that. And but at the end of the day, like, you know, all these guys that made this team, they got to produce. I mean, that's part of the National Football League. And I really like our group. I really like the way they work. I like the way that they're working together and connecting. Again, we got a long ways to go, but I like this group, and I'm excited to add the guys that we added over the last few days.
So, Attouche, they claim, and we can move on, and then Rob's going to join us, and we're going to talk to him a little bit more about this. But I'm curious, is this good to be publicly saying, after you've just claimed this kicker, guys have to produce? If they don't produce, it's going to be a short leash.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, are you putting yourself in danger of it becoming, you know, you talk about Pella windows and doors, entry doors. Are we talking about a situation where, you know, he said, and you heard him say it there, we're excited about him. He's got a lot of talent. We're excited to get Braden in here and see what he can do. That's an admission that you don't really know what he can do either, right?
Well, so, he hasn't been here.
Are you potentially installing, instead of a Pella entry door, a revolving door? And is that really what you want to be doing here?
Well, I mean, obviously it's a revolving door because, what did you say, 4 or 5 kickers have been through here from the end of last season, and nobody has decided to kind of grab a hold of it and shut that door. Mm-hmm. So until, you know, Narvison makes a couple kicks and you start vibing and feeling good about what he's got, this has got a potential to be, you know, just a constant a constant revolving door, which is not what you want, because then your energy bills go up and you have all that air coming in and out.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't have any confidence as far as what the hell you're doing. So that's why I think this, you know, having some patience and seeing things through, it's got to be something that you're willing to have. And balancing that with a championship roster and having those goals and not letting your team down by having someone that you don't think is going to perform when the money's on the table. That's in essence what Goody has said, and that's why he has made this move. This is, again, this is rolling the dice, man. And when you're throwing dice, you're not expecting to roll 2s and 12s. You're expecting to be 6, 7, and 8. And right now, I would say this Narvison is an 11. He's a 3 and an 11. And you'll hit once in a while. Hopefully, the consistency comes and you start rolling 6, 7s, and 8s, and that's what he becomes. But as we're sitting here right now, that's not where they're at. And that leads to a lot of angst with your head football coach, because now he has to look at how he's going to call games and decide what he's doing when they get into that gold red zone area.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want your coaches making decisions based on what you can't do. Like, I don't want to have an offensive tackle that I have to constantly slide to or leave a chip to, or, you know, I can't run a pass play on third down with this back end because I don't think he can pick up the blitz. You can't live
right
that way.
Right.
And that's in essence what Matt LaFleur admitted to yesterday. And that adds a lot of extra pressure to an offense that you want to let be as free flowing as you can.
All right, I want to shift gears here. We're going to be joined by Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com at the bottom of the hour. But I do want to get to both the backup quarterback and the offensive line depth. I know it's not tackle talk with Brian Bulaga and Mark Tauscher, but it is interesting to look what they've got as their options. And what a beautiful blue sky behind Tausch today over at the Tundra Trio. So, Tausch, crack open a blue Coors Light and tell us about your love of that before we shift gears.
Well, Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill and make sure those mountains, just like on that can with that sizzling bacon, even with that sizzle, that can stayed blue. And that's when I knew it was chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand. When I need a moment to chill, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
We will shift gears to the other parts of this team, but again, still in kind of a backup mode as opposed to the kicker where he is front and center. Braden Narveson, your new Packers kicker. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Don't ever see you sober if I'm breathing. Racing to the moonlight and I'm speeding. I'm headed to the stars.
We'll get to Malik Willis and the offensive line in a second, but I do like to respond to folks who take the time while listening to the show to ask questions. Got an alert from the Wilde and Tausch Facebook Messenger. I didn't realize we had like an auto reply, Jesse. Hi, thanks for contacting us. We've received your message.
We have had that since I've inherited the Wilde and Tausch Facebook page. And
I don't see a lot of real responses, though.
I don't know how to turn it off, and so it always looks like we've already responded, and so I don't respond to almost anybody because I just get lost in the whole thing.
Okay.
So not an ideal setup for the Wilde and Tausch Facebook feed, but
thank you AI.
Yeah.
Eh? Thank you artificial intelligence.
Thank you for contacting us. We've received your message and will not be replying further. So Bonnie messages us asking about AJ Dillon. She and her husband had been out of town for a few days, and she said she's heartbroken hearing about AJ Dillon, wondering if we can explain why they didn't put him on injured reserve where he could come back during the season. This is the question, Bonnie. I don't have an answer for you, and I'm hoping we get to talk to AJ Dillon at some point, but both Goody and LaFleur talked about him yesterday, and they were cautious, HIPAA, you know, about giving too much information, but they did not strike an optimistic chord. They said, you know, maybe he'll be able to keep playing, and basically saying elsewhere, because once he's on IR, that's it. He cannot play for them anymore this season. Mm-hmm. But they could release him off of injured reserve if he gets an opportunity elsewhere. But I don't know. And the fact, all I can say is this, the fact that they had the option to designate him to return and chose not to use it is what makes me nervous for his health. That's what makes me apprehensive.
Yeah, I would say it's a pretty safe bet that he does not play football for the Green Bay Packers again. And when you're talking about the neck and you're talking about stingers, that's something you don't mess with. And if you're listening to what those guys said yesterday, and especially LaFleur, you know, I think for some people that thought AJ Dillon wasn't going to make the team, that was not the case.
He had a very clear role. Yep,
he was going to have a role, two back, and do some different things. The fact that they did not short-term IR him makes me believe, and at first you're thinking, well, is this just, Bulaga has mentioned it yesterday, kind of a nice parting gift, you know, here's your $1 million and whatnot. This is more, I think his health is not in a great place.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do that, that means some stuff has come back. He's missed, you know, he missed the last two preseason games. He had these issues in the past. So I would venture to say, if I was a betting man, that AJ Dillon's football career is probably in big time limbo because he's probably got some things medically he's going to have to overcome, or Green Bay would not have done it the way that they did.
Right. They would have, because he had a role, and this was the important thing. And I thought,
it's not as if there's a ton of people behind him that are going to fit that role.
No.
So this isn't a, well, he's not, this was, I think this is, there's some serious concerns about whether or not A.J. Dillon can even play football again when you're talking about this. So hopefully, you know, things work themselves out and, you know, you get all your feels back. And, you know, when you're dealing with stingers and necks, it's nerves, it's spinal. Like, there's a lot of things there that I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to delve into all that. But all I can tell you is you don't mess with that stuff. And when you're somebody, as you know, where AJ Dillon's at, I think you have to be very, very cautious about proceeding doing anything football related when you have, I think, a lot of other interests and the goodwill that he has built up. I think he's in a great position if he wants to get into the radio game or get into anything PR wise. He's got options on options, and it's not going to be worth it if there's going to be long-term potential for big time problems. And obviously, that's what they're concerned about, or you don't make that IR move the way they did.
Yeah. I mean, when you come up there and say that you had plans for him and a role for him, then you would have put him on the designated to return style of IR if you thought that there was that chance, because you had a plan for him.
Yeah, I think his NFL playing career probably needs to be called into. I think it's going to be tough sledding moving forward.
All right, I did ask Goody about the Malik Willis trade and how that came together, and because I'm always, you know, it's kind of like Hard Knocks. They're never on Hard Knocks, so I'm always trying to get little glimpses behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. Tell me if I succeeded or failed with the way Goody describes how that trade came together.
All right.
How did that come together? Mm-hmm. I'm curious about just the process of that trade, and then when you talk about having more than 53, did you have some conversations about trades going the other way with some of the guys?
Those conversations start, you know, actually prior to training camp starting, and our guys do a great job of kind of setting the table for me as far as what might be available out there as we go. So we're watching that each week, and we're watching all the tape and kind of seeing and predicting what might be available. And so those conversations are being had between pro scouts and different people throughout. Certainly Malik is, you know, a guy going into his, you know, his third year. And you just, he was kind of running in third string for them. So you're just wondering how that was going to shake out. And, you know, through conversations, it just became that he was going to be available. And I think it took about 24 hours, and then that deal was done.
So, Tausch, what did you think of that answer?
I'm trying to get this iPad going. These deals all come together. Yeah, I think this is a case where, what are you laughing at, Jelly?
That sounds like stereotypical whispering.
Well, I assumed you muted my microphone. Y'all are crazy, man.
And that's how the trade came together.
So, again, man, I just think we've spent so much time already talking kickers, right? And I think it's a vital, important position. And this, the backup quarterback, I've been very clear about the Malik Willis part of this for me. And now that you look at this and see that the Baltimore Ravens, or no, the Cleveland Browns, released former Baltimore Raven backup / starter / Pro Bowl quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel great about where they're at with this. Love to see Tyler Huntley be here. You don't give up that 7th round pick, and people on Twitter tell me, "Oh, 7th round pick, blah 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 blah." Rasheed Walker, correct me if I'm wrong, 7th round pick, right?
Yeah.
Starting left tackle.
I respect the fact that you didn't flex with you being a 7th round pick, you chose Rasheed Walker.
I'm old and washed. Rasheed Walker is coming into his own and is an absolute, he's, you know, hopefully going to be a stalwart left tackle
for
this group. So I don't want to just poo-poo, oh, well, who cares, it's 7th round pick. No.
No, those matter.
But so, it's not even that. If it's somebody that you feel like can really help your team this year, great.
Yeah,
I didn't sense.
Huntley has more evidence than Malik Willis.
He doesn't even know. Malik Willis doesn't even know the offense.
No, he does not.
And I think Sean Clifford's going to be your elevated backup down in Brazil.
Well, Matt LaFleur seems to think so, while Goody thinks that Malik will be ready. All right, speaking of...
Seems like those two are on the same page.
They do, doesn't it, though? We'll get to that with Rob Dabowski coming up. One more thing before we get to Rob. I do want you to hear how Goody answered the backup offensive line question, because that's a position. Yeah, this one, maybe you'll actually hear this answer. Because, look, we say it all the time. I bring up 2014 even more often than I bring up Bulaga trying to block certain players that he might have struggled with. I'm not going to bring up Bruce Irvin, even though I just did. But he was the one who missed one game all season in 14, and that just doesn't happen. So they are going to have to play backup linemen at some point. Their backups, if you assume Sean Ryan is the starter at right guard now, they have three rookies. They have a guy who spent last year on the practice squad as an undrafted rookie, and they've got Andre Dillard. Those are their backup options. Here is how that exchange with Goody went.
All right, wait a minute. I have the LaFleur exchange on the offensive line. Goody is not here for us. Okay. For
well, let's
purpose.
Here's how Tausch could just whisper through this. He won't listen anyway. Here's Matt LaFleur on the offensive line.
What do you think your depth is on the offensive line? You kept 10, the five guys that aren't the starters, three rookies, Kadeem, and then Dillard. Like, where do you kind of feel like you are if you get some challenges at that position?
Yeah, I think, obviously I think that we got a lot of people that we are confident in that can go out there and play. And we got to keep developing them. And so as far as the depth, I think you find out when they have to go in the game to see really where you're at. Certainly with some of the guys like Jordan Morgan just not being available the last couple of weeks, that's kind of hurt us, I would say. It's hurt him, and it's hurt our football team. So it'll be good to get him back out there.
So, Tausch, if I ask you, do you feel good about their depth, is your answer yes or is your answer no?
My answer is yes. For everybody that's freaking out about swing tackles, last year you developed Rashid Walker. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Yash is gone. But you have a first-round pick that's a good athlete, and I know he hasn't practiced that tackle.
Not one snap!
I understand. But you have Dillard, who's an old, savvy vet, who I think can go give you a couple games. Now, if you're going to miss guys for a ton of time, do I feel great about it? No. But for where this team's at and the fact that you have a first-round pick that you are going to be able to kind of utilize as a chess piece, Sean Ryan is somebody that's played good football for them, and you can plug him in. You have both options. So if it looks as if Dillard's going to be the guy, and if he struggles, that doesn't mean that Telford can't come in there and develop and grow into somebody that they really like. Obviously, they feel like he can play. Now, Glover ain't going to play this year. I would be shocked. He's going to be a red shirt. Mm-hmm. And you let him grow. But very few teams have two good offensive tackles. I think Green Bay will have enough, if needed, to piece together. And I think that having that first-round pick in Jordan Morgan, being able to slide around a little bit, you have versatility, they cross-train guys. I'm not sweating it right now, but that is, you have everybody healthy. And one domino falls the wrong way, you have to revisit this conversation.
All right, we need to get to Rob Domofsky. I want to remind you, if you need to get legal advice because you've been seriously injured, I hope you never do. But if you do, there's one call. That's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. You know who that is. It's Gruber Law Offices. They're the best. They've got the best track record. They win for you. They don't take a penny until they win for you. And more importantly, they care about you and your case. Check out gruber-law.com to find out more about the firm and its history, but all the great lawyers that are there and everything that David and his team do throughout our communities. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. Time to call Rob Domofsky. He'll join us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Yeah.
Time for the best in the business, and he is. I think I'm just a notch below him. I know Tausch's power rankings. I'm several notches below him, but they don't get any better than this guy. You see him on TV all the time, and when the Packers are doing well, even more than all the time. And you read him at ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com, and he's got a story that I cannot wait to read. He teased it last night on TV. We're going to hopefully get a little more out of him about it so we can really tease this story that's coming soon. It is ESPN's Rob Domofsky. Rob, good morning. How are you? By the way, Rob Domofsky also has another job title. He is the new president-elect of the Royce Newman Fan Club. So congratulations on that. What was the line last night? The question that we had to answer on WBAY was, what does it tell you that three Packers players were claimed by other teams? What was your line?
Yeah. It says that Royce Newman fooled somebody.
Yeah, Royce Newman, now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. All right, Rob, before we get to any of the current storylines with this team, because we spent a lot of time this morning, Tausch and I, talking about the kicker, talking about the backup quarterback situation. But tell us a little bit about this story you've got percolating about what it's going to take to put a game on in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and about this carrier ship that is carrying stuff since June 1st to Brazil.
You know, Jason, where Daniel Whelan's locker is in Lambeau, it's the closest locker to the equipment room, where the equipment guys kind of, you know, do their work. I know they have other rooms, but that's kind of where the equipment guys congregate. And we were talking one day, and he's like, I don't know how they're going to get all that stuff to Brazil, you know? And I'm like, well, I can tell you how, because I've done some research on it. Back in June, they had to send a cargo crate, you know, those giant things that go on the ship. They had to send all kinds of stuff on a cargo ship. Basically, anything that they're not bringing back, anything consumable, has to go on a ship for custom reasons. And they literally have to inventory every piece of it. Like, if they're taking 50 rolls of this type of tape, if they're taking 25 rolls of gauze, if they're taking T-shirts to give to the hotel workers, they have to inventory them, say where they were made. The Packers, when they travel, they give, you know, they give things away to the people that help them in the hotel and the stadium, things like that. All that went over on a ship June 1st. And then a few weeks ago, there was a cargo plane that the NFL, the Eagles, and the Packers had to put stuff on. That's everything that would normally go on, like, the 18-wheeler. I don't know if people realize, but, you know, if you're playing in Nashville on a Sunday, they load up an 18-wheel truck on Tuesday or Wednesday and send a bunch of equipment to Nashville. That stuff, obviously, you're not driving an 18-wheeler to Brazil. So that stuff all had to go on a plane, including, and I didn't even think about this till I was talking to someone from the league office, goalposts. They literally had to send goalposts on a ship over to Brazil because they don't have them.
Well, when does this story drop? Because it sounds you've given us some good little tidbits.
Yeah, I think it's running the day of the game, to be honest. So I think it'll be the day of the game on Friday.
Well, we look forward to that, and we look forward to seeing Braden Narveson miss two of three field goals or make all of his field goals in London or in Brazil. All right, so you're the punting professor. That's what we used to tease you about because you kept all the hang times and everything else. But you pay close attention to the specialists, and we're going to talk to Rich Bisaccia later today. What was your takeaway for where they now landed at kicker?
As Matt LaFleur said, that's a question for Rich. Boy, did he avoid that one, right? Look, we watched them all, right? We watched how many, what do they have, four or five different kickers here throughout the course of the spring. And none of them was like, oh, this guy's great. Now, Greg Joseph had a stretch early on where you thought, ooh, okay, this is what an NFL kicker should look like. And, you know, then he ran into a patch in the middle of camp where he was terrible. You know, he was barely 50% for like two or three practices. it's just, you know, if you can't do it in practice, you know, which should be the lowest pressure setting that you're in, and it's a little bit like, you know, hitting balls on the driving range, you know, you're kind of getting in a little bit of a rhythm. I mean, they didn't go like 10 in a row, but they alternate one guy. So you should be able to get into a little bit of rhythm, and they just didn't. That was, to me, a hugely troubling sign. I will say this, about 2 weeks ago, maybe a week ago, I can't remember, it was going into the last preseason game, I did some looking around, and the name that kept coming up from people was this Narveson guy. And I, to be honest, had no idea. I didn't know much about him. You know, but someone said, keep an eye on him because the Titans are probably going to keep Nick Folk. And, you know, I mean, you look at his college stats and he was no better than what these guys were, you know, in practice and what they were last season. Now he did have a good preseason, 6 out of 7, made a 59 yarder, made a game winner against Seattle, made both of his extra points, but it's such a small sample size that, you know, I guess on the one hand, you give Gutekunst credit for not settling. On the other hand, you kind of wonder, well, you know, why did it take so long? Or is this even the right option? And are they, you know, are they still in a bad spot?
So, Rob, is the Rich Bisaccia luster worn off? Because when you listen to that press conference yesterday, seems like somebody's a little irritated with what – because Bisaccia has had – a lot of say in personnel, and it does not. It looks like that is waning as Goody made his cuts with some of his core special teams guys, and obviously the kicker that he wanted drafted last year.
Well, look, I've always said, Tausch, that I thought just because you're a good special teams coach doesn't mean you're a good kicking coach. To me, I think those are two different things, and they have coaches for everything now. I'm so surprised that they have not. They have not done that. I did get a text from a former kicker in the NFL who I will not name, but said that Bisaccia may be a good special teams coach, but maybe he's not good at evaluating and or teaching kickers. Like, because those are two different things. The scheme is one thing, and I think Rich has done a really good job in that regard. And I don't know if he's a good kicking coach or not a good kicking coach, but all these guys have specialists, right? I mean, Alex Hale works with John Carney. There's the Jamie Cool kicking school. All these guys, there's a number of former kickers around the country that run kicking schools, and maybe they make more money doing that, and it's less work than they would if they were hired by a team. But in this day and age, where they have coaches for everything and assistant position coaches and assistant to the assistant position coach, I'm really surprised that they don't have a kicking specialist coach on staff.
Well, it's good to know that you heard from Ryan Longwell. All right, so I'm curious, when you look at where this team is at, I brought this up the other day with you, you know, this Goody said, we've got it in 2022, we've got a championship team. And when you have a championship team, you need to have a championship level kicker. This could be, and Matt LaFleur mentioned it too, right? He's had seasons where it was a revolving door at kicker on other staffs that he was on. So I don't want to make this into something bigger than it is. I don't know if Narveson will be the answer. He very well could be, right? Yeah. Ryan Longwell was the answer. He turned out to be a fantastic kicker, and he was a guy that the 49ers cut, and Ron Wolf spent $100 picking him up off the waiver.
And remember, he missed one. It was the opener at Philly. He missed the opener. I think the conditions might not have been great, if I remember right. 97, I guess that was
your first year.
Early on, and I mean, they could have dumped him at that point, and you know, been on a revolving door. So, and I guess I bring that up because, you know, just because he misses one or makes a bunch early, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what his path is. I mean, Anders Carlson was lights out for the first, what, 6-7 weeks this last year. I just think, you know, it was an interesting, and you could play press conference interpretation games all you want, but it was interesting how on the one hand, Goody admitted that he's not very patient with specialists, and on the flip side, he didn't, you know, didn't learn anything, or I shouldn't say learn anything. That's not the right way to say it. But he admitted that he's not patient, and then he continued to not be patient, if that makes sense.
Right. And you bring up a really good point about Anders Carlson. I think he made his first, including extra points, like his first 16 or 17 kicks.
Yeah.
And now he's not employed anymore. I'm just, you know, that admission and bringing up J.K. Scott, just as I was talking about with Tausch earlier, that just underscores that if you give up on him now, there's a good chance he'll turn out to be good for somebody else. And that confession, again, we'll see if that ends up being an issue. So if it's not kicker, if it's not Malik Willis, if it's not swing tackle, what is it about this team that that fans should be nervous about? Because when in the grand scheme of things, the kicker thing is big, in my opinion. The other stuff, it's kind of first world champagne problems for a football team that's got a lot of really good talent on it.
Right, and like how many teams can afford to lose their starting quarterback for any significant length of time and still be okay? I mean, I guess it depends on, you know, the type of injury. I mean, there were, you know, Scotty Tolzien and those guys tried to keep the Packers afloat, and they did, just barely, right, that in 2013 when Rodgers got hurt, and in 2017 they weren't able to do it, right? I mean, I guess they sort of kept them in it. Brett Hundley kept them in it a little bit, but it's hard. You know, that's just, it's hard no matter, it's just the nature of this game. But I think if you look at the rest of this team, to me it's pretty solid from, you know, 1 to 45 or however many they're, you know, 1 to 44 or whatever it is if you take the kicker and the backup quarterback out for the players that are going to be active on game day. I did hear at the end of your segment you guys talking a little bit about offensive line issues. You know, they don't necessarily maybe have a number three swing tackle amongst those guys that you mentioned, but maybe their number three tackle is Elgton Jenkins, and then whoever doesn't start between Sean Ryan and Jordan Morgan goes in and plays Jenkins' spot at guard, and you can sustain, you know, one injury there. Can they sustain two? You know, I don't know. That's another issue. There are years where you go through a whole season and you start the same offensive line combination, you know, 14 out of 17 weeks, and it's not that big of a deal. And then there's other years where you've had 9 or 10 different combinations. I'm sure Tausch, I'm sure you were part of both of those different scenarios. And,
Rob, you know, don't you think because they kept Dillard, he's going to be their swing tackle? You're not keeping him if you're not going to play him.
Yeah, you would think that if there's an injury in game that he would go in.
Yep.
You wonder though if there's an injury and it's, you know, they have a week to prepare, mm-hmm. which way they go, I guess. Yeah. And that's why I say maybe they would go with Jenkins, you know, and maybe it's the other way around. I don't know. Maybe it's in game they go Jenkins, and if they have a week to prepare, it's Dillard. I don't know, but I do think keeping Dillard gives them options. You know, and Dillard seemed like he was better. As camp went on, he ended up getting hurt, and we didn't see him at the end. But he was not very good early. There's no question about that.
Well, and Rob, what did you make of what Matt LaFleur had to say about A.J. Dillon? Because I think some people thought he was going to be a bubble guy, and obviously his injury has more than likely ended his career in Green Bay. What did you make of how that scenario played out? Were you surprised?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't – sounds like, if you just go back, it sounds like he wasn't a bubble guy, because it sounds like they had plans for him, right? They they thought he was going to be a significant part of the offense. And, you know, it's just anytime you're dealing with the neck thing, it's just like, I mean, I feel for guys that have any injury, but boy, that's hard. You know, that's life-changing stuff potentially there. So, you know, I think that's just a tough situation. It would have been really interesting, though, to see if A.J. Dillon could have sort of turned it around a little bit. I mean, all the work he put into, you know, changing his body and sort of accepting, you know, that he had not lived up to, you know, maybe his own expectations even the last couple of years. It would have been interesting to see what kind of a bounce back year he could have had. But the reality is, like, you know, they have Josh Jacobs, who's never played a down for them, but obviously is a very, very accomplished running back. And then you have a rookie who missed almost all of training camp in Marshawn Lloyd. And then he had a guy who last year was kind of the training camp feel-good story in Emmanuel Wilson, and did some nice things in the game that he got, and then he ends up getting hurt with the shoulder injury, and that sort of derailed his rookie year. So maybe, just maybe, that this is the time or the year or at least the start of the season where they finally do what they never did with Aaron Jones, and that's give one running back a bunch of touches.
Uh-huh.
All right, Rob, before we let you go, I want to put you on the spot a little bit with this. You know, there's been times when things are contentious between Tausch and me. You and I don't think we've ever really been contentious. You've been contentious with more than your share of people. But I am curious.
That's the old me.
Yes, you've turned over a new leaf. So you're sitting at Jason Hoag's house, and you and Madsen and Hoag and Wes Hodkowitz are playing poker. You would want Matt LaFleur there, right? Because he can't hide anything. He's clearly pissed about where the kicking situation is.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much he and Goody talk, but did you walk out of there going, whew, the head coach does not hide his feelings well when something is not the way he wants it, right?
Yeah, I'm not folding when LaFleur is betting big with 2-7 under his hands. There's no question about that. I'm trying to bluff everybody off the table. You know, but what did McCarthy used to say, right? Conflict is good. I don't know if conflict in the media is good and doing it that way. But look, it's one of the challenges of this business, and it doesn't matter how you structure it. You know, and people can say, well, this is – you know, this would be better if Goody was his boss and you know, they weren't both reporting to Murphy and maybe not. But I just think these are their personalities.
Uh-huh.
And you learn to work with people, you know, based on their personality. And I mean, heck, I had to work with Wes for a couple of years at the Press Gazette. You know, sometimes it was hard to hide my disappointment. Like the time I berated him in the newsroom because Jim Mora had called me and Wes didn't get a number for me to call him back at. So, you know, sometimes you just have to live with those people.
Well, we will see what they live with from a kicking perspective. But Matt LaFleur, the way he answered, well, he cut me off, which is usually a good idea given how long my questions are. But when I started to say about the Razor's edge difference in winning and losing, oh, I'm well aware. Quick retort. So we will see.
Reminded me of the George Costanza. I am aware. You have lost a lot of hair. I am aware.
Rob, we love it when you join us. We appreciate you. Thanks.
All right. We'll see you next week.
That is the fantastic Rob Domofsky. He joins us on a weekly basis here. He is not going to Brazil, but you should keep an eye out for that story about what it's taking to get everything to Brazil. We will talk a little bit about what Rob talked about with us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
This ain't a good time, but when is it ever? I know the perfect time.
So, Tausch, do you have to have a poker face when you play euchre or sheep's head?
I think it's always good to kind of be able to control your emotion and not showcase exactly what you have. Yeah, I think you should.
So, in all seriousness, forget about card games for a second. Any concern that springs from Matt LaFleur's kind of reaction yesterday to the kicking situation?
No, I think he just, Matt likes to, like, he'll let his emotions out a little bit from time to time. And I think that's, you know, we can judge it and talk about it, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. As long as you can kind of coexist and have the greater good always at the back of your mind for what this team and what this organization needs to be successful. There's going to be disagreements. You have guys that have strong opinions and that have put a lot of time and effort into putting the best football team on the field. And I don't want everybody to always say, yes, oh, that's great, oh, that's awesome. Shoot straight with me. And if Matt LaFleur said yesterday, yeah, I feel good about the kicking situation, I'd say, well, what the hell's wrong with you? Because you can't possibly feel that way. So did he need to maybe go as far as to say he's going to be thinking about that on fourth? It's honesty. And you being a media member should appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Me being an analyst, I'm going to analyze it and say, that ain't good. That sounds like some bungled stuff. That's how I would look at it. But I do enjoy, I think, the fact that you have open dialogue and these guys can have a disagreement without being disagreeable, and then they move forward and try to figure out, all right, is Narveson going to be the answer? I think you can feel good about that.
Thank you, Big Mike. All right. I may, and I think Jesse picked up on it, I may have allowed my feelings to influence a question yesterday. Maybe. We'll let Tausch be the judge of that as well, coming up to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. But before we do, you know my feelings about you and your cameo appearance on the Johnson & Sons paving team and the excitement that I feel inside at the possibility that maybe we'll be redoing our driveway someday with Johnson & Sons paving and getting to watch you drive the paver again.
Oh, that'll be fun. We will get up there. We need to get that scheduled. You need to get JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com to do that scheduling an appointment. But for now, summer's here, but it's fleeting. And you know you're going to be prepping for winter soon. Johnson & Sons Paving wants to make sure you're ready by remembering the 3 R's of parking lot and asphalt maintenance. Reseal every 2 to 3 years. Repair when you see signs of cracking or potholes. And replace if there's constant standing water, warping, buckling, or sinking. Don't scare your customers or tenants by having a bad parking lot. Get it fixed. Connect with Johnson & Sons Paving today to fix those repairs before they become huge headaches. Visit JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com to schedule an appointment.
We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.